The board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public. We seek and use the services of Grayson Care Institute as administrators in assisted living facility management. Pursuant to ORS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners and Grayson Care Institute administrators and assisted living facility managers. And to the general public that the board will hold a regular meeting. Our monthly board meeting is open to the public Monday, September 19th, 2022, at 9:03 a.m. A regular board meeting will be held at 1740 West Adams Street, board meeting room C, Phoenix, Arizona, at 9:03. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, by contacting Jack Confer or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation. The board president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. This agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon majority vote of a quorum of the members, may hold an executive session pursuant for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.0383, and for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or by the term resident only. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for the September 19, 2022 regular board meeting is as follows. We'll start with roll call.
President Hitter.
Here.
Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Campbell.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
Member Hill.
Here.
Member Brunhall.
Very well, thank you. Declaration of conflicts of interest per ARS 38-503. At this time, do any members have any conflicts of interest or need to recuse any of the cases listed to it?
I just want to go on record that there's two cases listed. They're not a conflict. I just want to know that the addresses of the location is not anything of concern, but I do know the individual because the individual owns a great deal of care homes, group homes, but I just want to go on record that the cases before today, I have no concerns with the addresses that are being addressed today.
Okay. And what are the numbers of those cases? Not the names, just the numbers.
2022 NIC 0110.
Just do the last four. 0110?
Yes. And the other one is 0066.
And C3.
All right, so you have independent knowledge of these cases. All right, moving down to call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board forum so that the board is aware that they are here and want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be invited to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss or take action.
I'm having a very hard time hearing anything. I just hear a light voice.
Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or schedule the matter for discussion at a future board meeting. And I do have one request to speak, and it will be on a specific complaint number, which will come up later, and the individual will have opportunity to speak there. Is there anybody else at this time that wishes to speak to the board that is not already listed on the agenda? All right, hearing none, we move on. Review discussion, possible action on approval of minutes. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0382.
The microphone, it is working properly.
You can't hear me?
Can you just pull it closer?
Okay. All right, is this better, Rich? Rich? Can you hear me?
It still isn't working properly. I know from Jack talked to me, it worked fine.
All right, she's going to switch out my microphone. Thanks, Rich.
That's much better.
Oh, just mine. Use that one.
Okay, how's that?
Okay.
All right, great.
Awesome. This one works, it just flashes. No, it's got one, but it works at all.
Okay, board review, consideration, and action on approval of minutes. Draft regular meeting minutes for the meeting on August
8, 2022. Move approval.
Well, I have one correction, please.
Okay, what is that?
Under roll call, I was present at the meeting, and I'm not listed as present in person.
All right, we will make that amendment.
I move that we approve as amended.
I second. This is Becky.
Okay, and Becky second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye, and you need a better microphone.
Did you turn it on?
Member Hill?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Next, we move on to formal administrative hearings, proposed consent agreements, or a motion to deem allegations submitted. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice.
Mr. President, members of the board, there is a preliminary matter, as you see, I handed out the motion to deem that's in front of you.
All right.
So if you'd like, I can start there.
let me run the script, and we'll be right into it in just a second. Today is September 19th, 2022, at 9:12 a.m. at the NCIA boardroom, when a matter dealing with plate numbers 2022 NCI 0119 and 2022 NCI 0120. This case will be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. And for introductions, we'll start with the state.
Yes, good morning, Board. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing the state.
All right, thank you. Welcome. And is Anguri
the respondent? I'm not sure.
The respondent, are you here today? Okay. No response. The respondent is not in attendance at this time. The state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as submitted. If granted, the board will treat the allegations in the notice of complaint and hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request and then the respondent if they show up. Please address your remarks to the if they show up, we'll ask if they receive the notice of the hearing. At this time, Seamus, why don't you go ahead and make your presentation?
Absolutely. Members of the board, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. This matter came before you August 10th at your last meeting. The respondent had two matters before you with pretty serious allegations involving failure to report neglect and abuse, failure to have a personnel record on three different individuals. I believe there was also a substantiated allegation that there was also no medical record for two different individuals, two different residents who were living in the facility. So this motion to the complaint notice of hearing was issued on August 10th, 2022. The respondent had until September 13th to respond. They have not responded. My understanding is the respondent has not responded to the complaint, hasn't responded to the complaint notice of hearing, so it's pretty much been radio silence. So based, the certified mailing did not come back as undeliverable. In fact, you'll see in the last page of the exhibits that it was picked up at 9:58 a.m. on August 13th. So it is believed that we have knowledge. Is that correct, that he was noticed?
He's absolutely been noticed to his address for record.
Thank you. So in light of all that, today the state is asking that you deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted, and that you vacate the hearing today and take action without conducting the hearing, as well as adopting the parties and jurisdictions' factual allegations and potential violations of law, as yours is stated. Thank you.
All right, so you want us to vacate the hearing, but we can still do a motion to grant. Motion to deem the notice of hearing action?
Yes.
Okay. All right, very well. So, all right, so I will make a motion to vacate the hearing. And while we second, discussion, hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Thank you very well. Motion carries. Next, we move on to motions. At this time, the board will deliberate on the rule on the state's motion. We can begin the general discussion or move to motions. The first motion will be to determine whether to grant the state motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, I move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations and the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted.
Second.
Ken and Susan. discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhoff?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. The board has deemed the allegations and the complaining notice of hearing is admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct and the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law? Okay. Wally and Susan. All right, so your motion basically is that the board adopt the factual allegations, allegations of unprofessional conduct and complaining notice of hearing as findings of fact and
yes.
conclusions of law. Okay. Second.
Okay,
very well. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take the chair roll call vote, please.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhoff?
Aye.
All right, very well. Motion carries. The final issue. For determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law we have adopted. We'll allow the parties to briefly address the issue, first the state, and then the respondent if the respondent is here. James.
Well, I generally don't have statements. These are pretty egregious violations, so I will defer to you with the caveat that this isn't your everyday run of the mill.
Okay, very well. Thank you very much.
And we've not heard anything from the respondent, which means they don't choose to be regulated by us. I will go to revoke.
Okay. Is Andrea Gugutsu's show here? Are you present? Okay, there's no response. The respondent is not present.
Vice President Archer, was that a motion or was that discussion? I'm sorry.
That was still discussion.
I apologize.
No, you're good.
Okay, and further discussion. Susan, your motion?
Well, it's not a consent agreement.
Motion for revocation. The revocation pursuant to ARS 36-446.07. Would that be your motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
And Wally, second. Discussion on the motion. All right, and then we'll take a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights and will be explained in the board's order. And thank you for attending today. And, Lister, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, board members.
Discussion of possible action on administrative licensure and manager certification. Individual board review, consideration and action on applicants temporary and appropriate administrator license or manager certificate. If approved, pending pass of all required examinations within a substantive time frame, but the license or certificate will be denied. First, we want to talk to Amy Barron. Welcome. Thanks for being here. And for the record, would you introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Deborah.
All right. Thank you. All right. Go ahead.
On July 22, 2022, Inga Barone applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager.
Her application was administratively completed on August 10, 2022. She did answer truthfully to the question of whether she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. On December 3, 2004, Inga Barone was charged with count one, aggravated driving or actual physical control while under the influence of intoxicating liquor or drugs, a class six felony, and extreme aggravated driving or actual physical control while under the influence of intoxicating liquor or drugs, a class six felony. As a note, the case is considered aggravated because she had two children in the vehicle at the time of the arrest.
All right, thank you. All right, Ms. Barone, tell us a little bit about this case. When did it happen?
I think it was in 2004.
And what were the circumstances surrounding the situation?
I believe it was at a dinner for my aunt's birthday. It was her 50th birthday. We went to dinner. It was a family function.
Take a deep breath and try to relax a little bit. What is her response to the board?
Mr. President, members of the board, just a little clarification. So this is an application for a manager certificate. She did proactively disclose the prior criminal conviction on her application. I would say that this is a routine review of that application and the criminal conviction as required by the board, because it is a criminal mark on her history. I would ask the board to look at the time frame and maybe the application to provide a little bit of context on whatever rehab has happened since this time until now as far as what the offense was.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Yeah. So you said it's happened in 2004, and what's happened in the time since then? What have you done to change your life to ensure that something like this doesn't happen?
I have to go to parenting classes. I went to defensive driving school. I fulfilled everything that I was supposed to, and they dropped it down to a misdemeanor. I don't drink. I don't drink and drive. I don't drink. It's been years since I drank anything. There's a one-time incident that happened. It made a big mistake.
All right, so what we'd like to know is who is the person that's sitting before us today? Here's your opportunity to tell us your best side. Why do you want to be a caregiver? It's a pretty big charge.
Yes, so I've been doing this. I'm new to the industry. It's been almost 5 years, and I started off as a concierge, and I moved myself from that position. I'm now the assistant executive director, and I have a passion. I love working for elderly. I think this is my calling, and I'm new to the industry, but in this 5 years, I'm fully satisfied. I love what I work. I feel like I'm fully fulfilled doing this.
Okay. All right. And what is it that you plan to do with your certificate of experience today?
Eventually, I work for a good company. Eventually, I would like to be an executive director at a building.
Question.
Do you have your fingerprint clearance card?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have to do the cause exception?
No.
Because has it already been taken down?
Okay.
Everything else is administratively complete? Pass the test?
Sure.
No. Let me verify that before I say she did. I'm sorry.
Did she take the pass the test?
I did not.
She did.
You got it taken?
I have taken it. I did not pass. But I feel confident next time around.
Thank you.
She's up for October.
Well, you're certainly thorough in providing the documentation to the board, and I have a lot of respect for that. You know, this is a difficult time here, and you're kind of boring out there, bare your soul. But, you know, hopefully this morning is granted, you can draw a line in the sand and say, you know, move on. You know, we've all done things in our past that we regret, but what we want to know is who's this person today that's going to take care of them all. All right, I'm going to make a motion to approve.
Second.
With the 50.
Second.
Discussion. Okay, hearing none, take the roll call vote, please.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhoff?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Congratulations. Thank you again for being here today. Good luck to you. Okay, next we move on to application for manager, Holly Van Day.
Hi.
Hi, good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And for the record, if you could introduce yourself, please.
My name is Holly Van Der Meek.
Okay, very well. All right, go on.
On March 17, 2022, Holly Vandermeek applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively completed on July 4, 2022. She did answer truthfully to the question of whether she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. Holly Vandermeek was arrested for a DUI in New Hampshire 29 years ago. She does not recall the date or location of the arrest. The court no longer has any documentation of the arrest.
All right, so our knowledge of this comes from Ms. Evergate?
It does.
All right, thank you for being truthful on that. Do you recall what the disposition was and what has happened since then and what brings you here today that tells us you want to be a caregiver?
Well, it was 29 years ago. I was 35 years old. It was the dumbest thing I ever did. It was so wrong and so awful, and one of my biggest regrets. And I've gone back to the state of New Hampshire, and there's not even a criminal conviction record that's found, because back then, it was considered an infraction. It wasn't considered a misdemeanor or anything like that. And, you know, I have two children. This was a great learning tool for a real open discussion about how to behave and how not to behave and how mommies can screw up sometimes. And it was a mistake. It was a terrible, terrible mistake. Since then I've certainly never had any occasion to. I've had plenty of occasions, but no, I haven't had any opportunity. Not ever drink and drive or be in that situation, and you know, be a real advocate for making sure that there is a designated driver and that there is the opportunity for people to, you know, get home safely. It was this terrible mistake.
And if your certificate is granted, what would you plan to do with it?
I'd be an executive director. I was an executive director in Washington State, and I've come down here.
Okay. All right. So you've been doing this for how long?
Since 2016.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Other questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
And Wally second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take the roll call vote, please.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. We appreciate your honesty for being here today and good work to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we move to manager application for Veronica Barana. Good morning. Welcome. For the record, if you introduce yourself, please.
Veronica Barajas.
Great, thank you for being here. Morning, if you don't mind the case.
On April 15, 2022, Veronica Barajas applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively completed on June 14, 2022. Ms. Barajas was issued a consent agreement, complaint number 2155 by the NCIA board. Barajas has complied with the terms of the complaint.
Okay, I see here that you said that your certification lapsed if you failed to renew.
Yes, I was thinking about it because I've had it for 20 years, and I was thinking why it happened, and it was just that one year that kind of I missed it, you know, with the COVID and stuff, you know, I lost it. I lost the one year, and I just didn't even, you know, remind myself to, you know, to renew it.
And you would wish to be a manager again. What would be your plan if the certificate is granted today?
Working as a manager still for my mother. She still has her care.
Okay. Who's currently the manager of that home?
There's my sister-in-law and my niece.
All right, so you have good company.
Yeah.
I don't know about the others, but I sure feel like I lost a year as well.
Yeah.
Other questions? All right, hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Ken and Susan. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take your roll call vote, please.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. That's what to you. Okay, let's move on to review, discussion, possible action on complaint cases. Board may vote to go to executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.032 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. And please remember that if you use the name of the resident as confidential, so use only their initials or the term resident when discussing the actual patient. Agenda items may be considered as a single action unless board member or interested party wishes to remove an item for discussion. Section A, staff recommendation for disciplinary consent. The first one is Helen Dyke, 2022 NCI 074. All guests, please leave the boardroom at this time.
Bruce, the respondent, has passed out.
There's only 12 on the materials. That's why I said that earlier.
Board needs to recess for 5 minutes.
Mine only has 12. Mine only has 12, too. Oh,
this was already downloaded. Last time said that something had dropped off, and this was the final agenda, and this is what we got with the page number. And then we got this one.
Oh, well, you know what? I upload them on a computer from a flash drive, so maybe I got the draft one that wasn't all the way done. No, but the one that I upload on your computers, I just did that this morning, so the one that I uploaded might.
This is today's that she has. This is not what we got on our board books. This is just today that you have on your computer. So if you had your computer at home, you would get all 21.
But there's there's also 28 on the agenda. I don't know.
The agenda is correct. There's 28 that are supposed to be on the agenda. That's what was noticed for the meeting. I'm not sure why the materials that are loaded on the computer don't match this time. I sent that out. Yes.
I had 30 on the version I downloaded.
Which was the first version?
That's the first version, and I haven't re-downloaded a new version. I've been working off that.
So onboard.
You can tell me what was eliminated to get to 28, and I'll just wipe those off.
I don't have a way to do that, Rich. I don't have a way to do that on the posted agenda. I can't tell you. I can't from memory tell you which ones were moved and which ones were postponed.
All right. So we're back in session. What we can do is on the official final agenda that was properly posted and noticed. That we're operating off of today. I will make a motion on some versions have a 12 of the recommendation for dismissal. I'll make a motion to dismiss all 28 and vote as your conscience says on that. What the caveat point? If the motion fails, then it's not correct.
I'm second.
We do have one tab number
Mr. Chairman, is this the appropriate time for me to ask for a couple of them to be pulled out for separate consideration or not yet?
Yeah. Well, don't they have to vote on the motion?
All right, so Rebecca, you would like to pull out items 2, 3, and 8.
Yes, but honestly, now that I understand that we were voting on this full agenda, these are not going to be postponed due to lack of attendance. I had a question on the licensee in 11 through 15 and also on number 27. These are quick questions. They shouldn't take a lot of time. So 2, 3, 8, 11 through 15 as a group, and then number 27.
Those are all under your own poll?
That I have questions for staff, yes. Or for the licensee.
Two, three, eight.
11 through 15 is the same licensee, so. And then number 27, I have a question.
Number 15, so.
15, and then what? I'm sorry, 11 to 15, and then what?
Number 27.
You can make a motion to pull those out right now, and then just make a motion to accept the recommendation on the rest.
Okay. All right, so we make a motion to dismiss items 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 16 through 26 and 28. Wally second. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take the roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, so all of you that are have just been dismissed, you are free to go.
Thank you.
All right. back to the other dismissals. So I want to go back to this my consent agenda. So is Helen back here? Okay, and Helen Dyke with complaint number 0074 and 0085.
So, Mr. President, Seamus, what are our options here for someone who we have this consent agreement we would like for the licensee to agree to? Voluntary surrender, they are not here, so what can we do to facilitate the surrender of this license?
Can you just offer that?
Use on the microphone isn't working properly.
Push the button down.
Is it on?
There.
Move your hand.
Sounds like thank you, Mr. President.
What we will do is hear the case, and then we'll make a motion for voluntary surrender in the form of a consent agreement, and then if she accepts it, then she will surrender her license. If she does not, then it will move forward to formal hearing, where at that point, then we can vote as we need to move resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can we do one and three together, or do you have to do
them separately? No, I would combine them.
Okay.
So I want to combine 0085, 0074.
Mona,
please.
Mona, can I have the microphone? Okay, so this is complaint 2022-74. The manager is Helen Dyke. On August 4th, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site complaint investigation at AC Assisted Living, LLC. Six of seven allegations were substantiated and 12 deficiencies were cited. Some of those deficiencies that were cited were failure to ensure fingerprint clearance card requirements, failure to ensure CPR requirements were met, the manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completion of a caregiver training program. The manager failed to ensure a caregiver's skills and knowledge were verified and documented. The manager failed to ensure a resident service plan was signed and dated by the resident or the resident's representative. And failure to ensure a service plan was signed by a nurse or medical practitioner. Ms. Dyke was noticed of the complaint, and she did file a written response with the board. On January 5th, 2022, DHS issued a notice of intent to revoke the healthcare institution's license. A settlement agreement was executed on January 5th, 2022, between DHS and AC Assisted Living, LLC. Do you want me to just read the next one right now?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right, and then the next complaint is 2022-85. The manager is also Helen Dyke. An on-site complaint investigation was conducted on August 4th, 2021 at AC Assisted Living 3. Four of six allegations were substantiated and 11 deficiencies were cited. The deficiencies included, but were not limited to, failure to meet fingerprint clearance card requirements. The manager allowed an employee to act as a resident's representative for two of four residents sampled. The manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completion of an approved caregiver training program. The manager failed to ensure medication was administered to a resident was documented in the resident's medical record. Ms. Dyke was also noticed of this complaint, and she did file a written response for this complaint as well. And on January 5th, 2022, DHS issued a notice of intent to revoke the healthcare institution's license, and a settlement agreement was executed on January 5th, 2022, between DHS and AC Assisted Living. That's my conclusion.
Okay, any discussion? Heard late motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3. ARS 44610, R433407A and B1 for professional conduct and complaint number 2022 NCI 0074 and 0085 involving manager Helen Dyke. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, so the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Reimbursement of investigative costs, $302 voluntary surrender of certificate.
And can that investigative cost be negotiable? Often licensees don't want to pay, or certificate holders don't want to pay once they've given up their license or certificate.
It can be negotiable at the discretion of board staff.
Thank you.
Second. Wall is second. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. All right, next is Ramona Joy White here?
Just a second. Okay.
Ramona White? Okay, is absent. All right, Elizabeth, can you hear the case?
All right, this is complaint 2022-78. The manager is Ulama White. On August 4th, 2021, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site complaint investigation at AC Assisted Living 5. Five of seven allegations were substantiated and seven deficiencies were cited. The deficiencies included but were not limited to: the manager failed to ensure caregiver skills and knowledge were verified and documented. The manager failed to ensure caregiver provided documentation of completion of an approved caregiver training program. The manager failed to ensure medication was stored in a separate locked room, closet, or cabinet used only for medication storage. Ulama White was noticed of the complaint, and we did not receive a written response from them. On approximately January 5th, 2022, DHS and AC Assisted Living 5 entered into a settlement agreement, and the settlement agreement was not provided to us. That's my conclusion.
Between the certificate of order and the DHS, you said?
Yeah, DHS.
Okay. And she has not responded to this board?
No.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Real quickly on this licensee, there were quite a few lapses in management, I would say, according to this particular inspection. The one in particular that stands out is failing to ensure that staff is actually qualified to take care of the residents and have completed the requirements that we have of caregivers. Given that the licensee has not responded to the complaint nor attended this meeting so that we can assure that they're still committed to the principles and vision and requirements of being a manager, I would suggest that I would recommend or move, however you like for me to say it, that the current consent agenda be amended to require the licensee to retake the manager's training. I'm not convinced that this particular person is committed to being a manager. And so if they are going to continue being a manager, I would like to see some commitment, and to me that would be to retake the manager's training.
Well, I think to dovetail off of what you said, by her not responding to the board at all, she needs to say that she's not managing.
Can we also point out?
Mr. President, members of the board, I just wanted to, we're talking about this non-response. We got a very late response after the report had been written, and we sent out the notification for this letter. This is actually on page 208 of your materials. We got an email response from her regarding the complaint and regarding the cases. Does not provide much insight into the allegations, why they happened, but she did respond. So I just want to let the board know that, so we're not hanging our decision on that particular issue.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll clarify, having read this very brief response, and when she takes no responsibility, my previous statement stands.
All right. Well,
is it noteworthy, or are we allowed to connect the docs between the last case and that this is a matter for the chamber proposals?
Based on the merits of this case,
Well, she's going to ignore us anyway.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to make a motion for voluntary surrender, and if she values it enough, then she has further appeal rights to show up at a future board meeting.
How's that? Second.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2022 NCI 0078 involving manager Lulana Joey White, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Voluntary surrender of certificate.
Second.
So Jim and Susan second. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take this for a roll call vote, please.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, very well. Thank you. Motion carries. Let's move on to Ann Jackson. Ann, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Come on up.
Winnie.
Good morning. Can you push the button on your microphone so the little green trembling? All right, for the record, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I am Ann J. Jackson.
All right, and who is with you today?
I'm the
owner of the assisted living that Ann Jackson is a manager.
Okay, and what is your
name? My name is Brooke Blair.
Spelling your last name, sir?
B-L-A-I-R.
Thank you.
Okay, Elizabeth, you got my other case?
This is complaint 2022-108, and the manager is Ann Jackson. On January 11th, 2022, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Arcadia Assisted Living Care Villa. The compliance inspection identified 13 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Jackson was noticed of the complaint, and I have that she did not file a written response. On February 2nd, 2022, DHS imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 on the facility licensee, Arcadia Assisted Care LLC, for the following 4 violations. One employee working as a caregiver had an invalid caregiver training certificate. Residents were left alone with an employee who was not a trained caregiver. 2 residences' service plans were not signed and dated by the manager. 1 resident did not have a medication administration record. And that's my conclusion.
All right, very well, thank you. All right, so first question, did you provide a written response to this board?
I did not. The manager that was actually still the manager at that time did.
And the inspection was on January 11th. When did you take over as manager?
The 14th of January.
All right. Did the board have any knowledge of this? No, sir. All right. And are you still the manager there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so then were you responsible to implement a plan of correction?
Yes, we submitted it.
To
Brandon.
All right. Here's our former investigator.
Yeah, we're in the team.
Yeah.
I also filed a response as well. With the Ann Jackson had put in her duplicate manager certificate request in early December, knowing that she was going to be taking over the facility whenever it was received, but it wasn't received until about January 14th.
All right.
And then prior to that time, the manager that we had was unable, as of January 1st, to continue because of COVID managing that facility. So there was a period of about 13 days that there was no acting manager.
So the 1st through the 13th?
Yeah.
So, Mr. President, just to clarify then, the manager of record at the time, the person responsible for the conditions found by DHS, was Ms. Blair?
No. She started after the date of the inspection. So the deficiencies...
Mr. President, Ms. Jackson joining us, and it's my understanding was another individual who was actually the manager of record. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, there's a, what Mr. Blair said there was a gap of a manager from 1-1 to 113, correct?
Yes, the surveyor was made aware of the fact. Ms. Ann Jackson did come to the day of the survey so that she could be aware of what was going on with the facility with the surveyor.
But had she already removed her certificate?
She had not received it yet.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Can you get it to
and the other manager was on leave. She had, was no longer with us as of January 1st.
Did you notify the board that she was no longer the manager? And what was her name?
Linda Blair.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So who was paying the license at the facility from January 1st through the 14th?
There was no manager.
Did you notify Department of Health Services?
They had been notified, but I don't know what date that was.
And did you notify this board that Linda had removed her certificate?
No, I did not myself.
Are you a licensed assisted living manager?
No, I'm not.
You're just the owner of the building.
All right, what I'd like board staff to do is some further investigation to see if there's evidence that Linda Blair had noticed this board. She was no longer the certificate holder of the manager of the facility. If the board has not noticed, then I'd like to put a claim on Linda Blair.
I just checked, and the board was not noticed by Linda Blair of her appointment to any facility.
All right, do I need to make that motion?
Please.
Okay, make a motion to open a complaint on Manager Linda Blair. Do I have a second?
Second.
Wally, second.
And that's regarding the allegations in this current investigative report?
Yes, correct. Okay, any further discussion on this motion? All right, we'll take your roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhaw?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Then for Ann Jackson, we have a motion to dismiss. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2022 NCI 0108 involving manager Ann Jackson.
Second.
Mr. President, before we have a vote on that, can I just get some clarification?
Yep.
So, I'm confused, which is not new. So, the testimony here today is that the facility did not have a manager for 2 weeks or something like that. Or essentially, it was unlicensed without a manager. Has DHS done anything about that? Are they investigating the
They were made aware, but I believe that there's a 30-day window that you're allowed to replace a manager.
No. You should not.
Can I clarify?
Sure. I don't...
There's not technically a window. We're always supposed to have a manager. If we don't, many times DHS will allow a 30-day while you get a manager before they start fining you $10 a day for not having a manager. So we're always supposed to have a manager, and we're technically in violation when we don't. But the 30 days would be before they start levying fines. So he probably was not fined by DHS for the absence of a manager because the time period was 14 days.
And she had applied for it.
And she had applied
and she was for waiting for it.
Right.
So can I follow up?
Yeah.
So when DHS came in, they almost always look for the license level. And if they don't see one, the social would be written up. What did they witness, or what did they see when they walked in on this one?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Yeah, why would Ms. Jackson's name come up?
Ms. Jackson was present at the survey. She came over as soon as the surveyor showed up.
That shows some ownership.
Right. It was for me responsible because I knew that I was going to become the manager at that facility. So when they did call, then I knew this Blair was sick. I'm not going to say
Who called you?
Brookdead.
Okay, there was a $15,000 or $1,500 fine. Why did you pay it, and why did you get that fine from DHS on February 2nd?
You're asking me that?
Yes, please.
Hold on, Board. We did vote on the motion to dismiss.
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to vote on this road. We need to rescind that motion if we're going to.
Well,
because we're discussing the case right now.
So. And part of my question, James, was if we're going to direct staff to reinvestigate this, I'm going back to what I think is occurring here, and that's why I wanted some clarification.
James just said they voted on it. They didn't
so,
vote on it.
I to me, there was a license on the law. I think when we go back and talk to the DHS surveyor, we'll find out who that is. And that's what I want to focus on. That's why I was asking you. Maybe you can clarify it for me. That's all. And if you can't,
I know that was Sam Jackson's license. Not up, so if there was, it was like Blair.
Because we also have jurisdiction to some extent to investigate our license managers and our license administrators who are acting may not have filed a notice of appointment when they should have. So that will be the scope of the this review. Thank you. All right.
So we're
going
to take to vote, and we have set another staff recommendation. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
Can you repeat the motion?
The motion is to dismiss.
I didn't get the second.
Second.
Yes. Okay. Kevin Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. In subsequent investigation, we're opening up a complaint on Linda Blair. I'd like you to confer with DHS and discuss the gap of timing to see what they're going to do about that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So your friends. Everybody should come here and learn. What you were saying with the woman painting, it was an experience.
It was an experience.
That's a first. Okay. All right, next we move on to complaint number 0110. Lydia Kubilitz with this. Good morning.
Good morning.
And for the record, if you could introduce yourself, please.
Of course, Mandy Carvis of Wickersmith, appearing with on behalf of my client, Ms. Kubilitz, who will also introduce herself.
Lydia Kubilitz.
And can you say your name again, counsel?
Yes, Mandy Carvis, that's K-A-R-V as in Victor, I-S.
What's her name?
Mira Cubillos.
Okay. All right, listeners, if you have any case, please. Go ahead.
This is complaint 2022-110. The manager is Lydia Cubillos. On December 27, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site compliance inspection at Sunrise Care Homes, McDonald. The inspection identified 23 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. Cubillos was notified of the complaint, and she did send board staff a written response. I would also like to note that in the investigative report in the materials, the enforcement action was not written correctly. The enforcement action was on February 2nd, 2022. DHS took enforcement action and issued a civil money penalty of $2,500 upon the facility licensee for the following deficiencies. Residents were left alone with a caregiver who was not able to communicate in English. One employee was working as a caregiver and did not have a valid caregiver certificate. 3 caregiver skills and knowledge were not verified and documented. Residents were left alone with an employee who was not a trained caregiver. 1 employee did not have a personnel record, and there were no employee disaster drills that were conducted and documented in the last 12 months. And that's my conclusion.
All right, Ms. Cubillos, how long have you been the manager of this facility?
I've been since 2000.
Question? Can you give me a little better idea of what happened for this survey? Why are there so many deficiencies and have such a broad scope?
Yeah, unfortunately, after 2 years of COVID, last month we got COVID, so all the staff got panicked. They left right away. Families, we sent 1 resident to the ER and he came back and infected all the residents. So we tried to cover the shift quick. We called every kind of agencies to pick up the shift, and there was no caregivers available. We called 1 company that said, yes, I have a caregiver, and they sent someone that it was not certified. We trusted them, we thought that they by caregivers, but they failed to do that. Also, the caregiver during that day, she was pregnant 7 months, so she ran to get her COVID because she was not feeling well. So that's when the inspector came. For documents, I was out of the country. I was taking care of my mother for 1 month, so this one inspection happened as well. But it was a designated manager. Again, the girl that she was, it was designated. She was 7 months pregnant and ran to get her COVID test.
This was your designee? Mm-hmm. Okay, and you were gone for about 1 month?
Yes.
And so you were not in attendance during the survey?
No, I wasn't. Okay. Yeah, I would have run with if they called me to do the caregivers. I myself do a lot of work at homes and help and very involved.
2 cases.
Just in vain, 23 years, pretty much. But we had this set of
things. Was that one?
And I think, Mr. President, Dr. Gard, if I may,
yes,
obviously, COVID, we know, caused a lot of havoc in a lot of facilities. At this particular time, they've made it for a pretty long time without having positive tests in the facility, ended up having positive tests, and then the concern of the manager on duty, who, as Ms. Cubillos has indicated, was pregnant and not feeling well herself. Unfortunately, left to go get the test whenever the surveyor came. Additionally, the staff, the agency that they relied upon to provide someone who was certified, unfortunately did not. As part of the process of the plan of correction, they're no longer using that particular staffing agency. So that lesson learned there. Obviously, unfortunately, at that time, a lot of facilities had a lot of staffing issues. They were doing their best to fill with qualified folks. She was away. It was kind of a perfect storm of holidays, her being gone, and COVID, but in the 22 years that she has been involved, there's been no other situation before or since. She does a lot of additional continuing education, which was submitted to the board, and we would suggest that a non- non-disciplinary order would be more appropriate in this matter, but she's happy to answer any more specific questions that anyone may have about the situation.
Okay, so Ms. Harbis, you would advocate for a non-disciplinary letter, if that's it?
Yes, Mr. President, that's what we would advocate for. She did submit a significant amount of continuing education. Again, this was an unfortunate perfect storm of events that has never happened before or since, and will likely not happen again in the future.
I have a question. One of the things that was cited was not having evacuation or disaster drills done for 12 months. Obviously, that would have been prior to this. So were they done or just not found?
No, they were gone. Okay. And the way online said, so when the inspector came, the staff could not get into the computer. And then he refused to receive anything within 24 hours, which always been the case. You get 48 hours to submit a communication reason. He refused. I would not like to go there, actually, but I filed a complaint against this inspector. And no, he was not responded by NOAA at DHS. However, his behavior absolutely changed. And he's a better surveyor now. But he did not approach the case the best way either. He demeanor people. He was just not a good surveyor.
Yeah, Wally.
Were all of your residents speaking English?
No, we have, at that location we take audits, so a lot of the residents speak Spanish, and the caregivers that were there spoke Spanish.
Well, you were written up that a caregiver didn't speak English.
Say that again? Yeah, she's saying that you were written up that a caregiver didn't speak English, and there was at least an English-speaking resident,
yeah.
So she's asking.
Okay, that was going to try. I tried to dispute with DHS, but they just refused. They just sent us straight to the code enforcement. Yeah, we told them we would take all this and allow Spanish to speak.
Well, was someone on staff that could speak English?
Yes, yes. The person who was there got panicked and just didn't know what to do again. Yes, one speaking English.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I have a question for these bill licensees. Mr. Bios, thank you for being here. So one of the comments you made was that the agency failed to ensure that the caregivers were appropriately documented for training and legal ability to provide care. And given the amount of time it appears that you've been a manager, I'm a little concerned that you think that's not your responsibility or your designee's responsibility. I also see that there have been a couple of other times where we've had to visit with you regarding different lapses in management issues. And so I would ask why you think what's being recommended in the action sheet that you take some additional training, if you take the manager's training, wouldn't be appropriate. There are some indications that you don't have a full grasp on the breadth of your responsibilities and that it would have value to you, your residents, and your staff if you retook that training.
You can address that.
Yeah, thank you for your comment. I am very knowledgeable. Again, like I've done this in general for 23 years, and not only educate myself, but I educate my staff and my EMTs. The state doesn't require CEUs. My company requires 12 CEUs per year per caregiver. And I myself provide those CEUs. I apply to the NCI board on a monthly basis for training. So every staff member is trained. I also do an organization with two CEUs, and I apply for those CEUs. I do all that work. So I have the knowledge. Again, it was a month that I was not here. I've been having when, you know, everything happened when.
Okay, thank you. Mr. President, I'll just say during my time with Mike here that I'm comfortable with the recommendation that's in the board action sheet. There are prior complaints and two complaints on this agenda, and I think it would have some value for Ms. Cudillos to take the manager training. Thank you.
How long were you out of town?
I'll be away for 30 days.
30 days? Not more than 30 days.
My mother has a lot of surgery, so I can deal with it. I would have worked with it.
And so, did the COVID pop up while you were gone?
Yes, for 2 years we were the first one to vaccinate people to get the PPEs. I myself trained some PPEs. We didn't have no COVID for 2 years. It's just the last month in December, we sent one president to the PR. When you get back, we were going to tell you, yeah, you staff, the piano, everyone right away.
And I didn't catch, do you have more than one home?
Yes, I have four homes for my home right now. And I'm involved in the operations. Again, I apply for this use once a month. Find a speaker, which was a doctor or nurse, and we train the staff and give them CEUs.
So I'm hearing all the knowledge, and I'm based on what's been said. I can certainly believe the perfect storm scenario because we've seen it a lot during COVID. So I don't know necessarily that she's doing education all the time. She's applying for the CEUs herself through the board, which isn't even required for the caregivers, but just kind of excelling to a level of competence that most homeowners do not.
If I may add, at the organization that I board member, we used to have one CEU per month for four managers. Since I took over that department, I add another CEU. So now we have two CEUs per month, one for managers, one for caregivers. And I'm responsible to find speakers, set the meetings, and offer that for free to the community for the caregivers.
So I guess the question, maybe this would help assuage some doubt. How can we be assured that something like this won't ever happen again with any of the properties where you have this level of deficiency cited? I mean, surveyors are surveyors, but taking that into account,
yeah.
There's still a lot here that happened. So how are we assured that that won't happen again?
Yeah, we have trained more staff, but we're not in town. They take over and go through the homes and ensure that we have the documentation ready. We have created some monitor systems so we know when certain documents do, and we get pop-ups 2 weeks before, so we can take care of that.
Were any of the other properties surveyed while you were gone?
No.
Ms. Carter, do you have a comment?
The only other comment was that I raised before, that they're no longer using Registry MK for staffing, and she is aware that even if you are using a staffing agency, you should request proof from them that the people that they're saying are certified are actually certified. But that was the only, I mean, at that time, everybody was struggling to find staff, and when she called five places, should she have verified the people they said were certified? Absolutely. And will she do that in the future? Absolutely, but hopefully we won't. We've all lived through, hopefully, our one and only global pandemic, and this will not be an issue in the future, God willing.
But also, as caregivers, so let's say that moment, five people call off in 1 week, because we don't have one living people, we have 12-hour shifts, so it's three people per day. So we need to cover six shifts in 1 week. So we call this company, and it's not enough time. So if someone call off for right now, no one show up, then we call MK and say, okay, we send caregivers. They send caregivers. So really, we don't have that window to go and verify each caregiver document.
On a regular basis, would that agency person be on site with one of your certified caregivers?
Yes.
At all times? Far alone the time that the one person left to go get the COVID test when the surveyor showed up.
Absolutely, yes.
But otherwise, they were always there with one
always,
of your
yes,
staff.
Yes.
So they could have been viewed as an assistant caregiver in that context.
Correct. And in this process, too, I mean, I'm an advocate about caregivers. I take girls that have not certificate, and we send them to school, we pay for the training, and then we hire them. So we're doing a volume video just to try to solve the caregiving issue as well.
I think
reaching out to have an agency to come and just work, hopefully, that they have all the certifications. But, I mean, we're all still feeling the effects of short staffs. That's still ongoing.
Very much so.
I don't believe at this point, personally, that education is going to change. This happened with an unfortunate set of circumstances. I think she's very proactive, pretty much in everything that she's doing and was doing prior to COVID. So I would be prepared for that.
Well, I do. I think she demonstrates she knows what she's doing. I think some of these issues would not have been issues had she been in the facility. I do see more than this amount of continuing education. Some seems to apply directly. Some of the others enhance my knowledge of things, but it does show some proactiveness on her part. If she's trying to stay current in her education. All right, I'll need to go make a motion.
I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2022 NCI 0110 against Lydia Novellos.
Okay, Susan motion, Kendall second. Discussion, hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries 5-1.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
We have C3 as well, if you want to stay with us, or we are happy to wait and come back.
It was on the dismissed, you pulled it off.
Yeah. Okay, 066. All right, let's go jump down to section C, number 3, complaint number 2022, NCI 0066.
Ms. Smith, are you doing this one?
I can do it. Or do you have it pulled up? I have to pull it up. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Would you like to summarize?
Yes, please.
This is case number 2022 NCI 0066 regarding manager Billis. This is the online complaint that we had received on around February 21st, 2022. The complaint was filed by PED. Who was the spouse of a previous resident at Sunrise Care Homes that was located in Paradise Valley. The wife made various accusations regarding COVID-related boosters and infection. And it is a lengthy summary of some medications that were being administered, as well as the COVID vaccination and booster. Staff did investigate this, and we determined that we did not find any violations of that statute of rule and recommend dismissal.
Thank you, Ms. Cadillo. So there's a lot of documentation in this complaint. I'm So I just wanted some clarification around the issue of a lack of family, the POA having signed off on the permission slip for the COVID vaccine. I see that there was a permission slip for the flu, so that addresses that issue. And there is an exhibit that says that boosters will be provided when available in the service plan. But the family member was not did not sign a permission slip for the actual COVID booster, which I see is one of the major issues in this complaint. So do you consider the service plan to replace a permission slip? Or what is the issue with the vaccine permission slip not having been signed, but the residents still providing the booster?
The form was sent to her, and she was verbally notified the day before, and she okayed it. The resident also had the prior 3 doses, so this was just a booster. And she was with us only for 2 or 3 months. When she toured the home, the first thing she reiterated to us, it was that when she was before, they were not doing the COVID protocols, and that she was very disappointed at that. So I said, no, we are very strict here. We actually check protocols. Everyone has to check in, and we will have the boosters, and as soon as we get it, we will notify them. She said, great, thank you. I want that. Husband was not in. So he was in hospice as well. He was in hospice for 1 year. So there was no doubt that she would not want the vaccine. That she said, I don't want. I mean, everything she indicated that she wanted the vaccine. It was just the booster, and I was not even the first doses.
And if I may, so the flu and pneumonia vaccine permission slip, which added COVID-19, which was attached as Exhibit 1 to the response, with respect to COVID-19 vaccine, there were 4 options there, including I don't wish to participate in this program at this time. That box was not checked. They said I have already had a COVID vaccine administered on January and February of 2021, and the family was told that as soon as boosters were available, they would be administered. She was provided notification, did not say she did not want it. Ideally, obviously, another form specifically for the booster would have been provided, but she did not indicate that they didn't want to participate in the program. They were properly notified, and there's nothing to suggest that the facility was told not to administer it.
Thank you. So you're saying that COVID booster permission was part of the flu and pneumonia vaccine form, but I can't find exhibit 1 and 2. Do you know what page that's on?
Page 1139.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it says COVID-19 vaccine. The booster isn't specifically addressed, but they did not check, I don't wish to participate. They said I've already had a COVID vaccine on January and February 2021. They were told that boosters would be administered and that they would be notified before they were. Ideally, a separate form would have been provided. But the complaint is a little inconsistent in that she says he was allergic to the 2 prior ones or had an allergic reaction to this one, but she certainly did not say, I don't wish to participate in this program when she did initial forms. In fact, she indicated he had 2 vaccines with no adverse reaction.
And verbally, consented to a subsequent booster.
Correct. Yes. He was notified via phone and an email when the booster was going to be administered.
Okay.
All right, any other discussion? All right, let's see here. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2022 NCI 0066 against manager William Gibbs.
Second.
Susan, second. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
President Kinner?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Nay.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Brimhoff?
Aye.
All right, motion carries 4-2.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
All right, next we have Lydia Creel. Lydia here. We have two cases for Ms. Creel today, 0124, 0192. Any opposition to combining the two together? Okay, so let's combine the two. We'll start with 124.
This is complaint 2022-124, and the manager is Lydia Creel. On March 1st, 2022, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Highland Assisted Living 2, LLC. The inspection identified 29 deficiencies in 13 different areas. Ms. Creel was noticed of the complaint, and she did send a written response to the board. On approximately March 23rd, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and issued a civil money penalty of $3,000 upon the facility licensee, Highland Assisted Living LLC, for the following deficiencies. One employee did not have a current and valid fingerprint clearance card. One employee had no documentation of CPR or first aid training. Residents were left alone with an employee who was not a trained caregiver. Two employees did not have personnel records, and one resident did not have a service plan. And that's my conclusion for 124. And then complaint 2022-192, the manager is also Lydia Creel. On March 10th, 2022, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation at Shepherd Manor, LLC, located in Mesa, Arizona. The complaint investigation substantiated 3 of 5 allegations and 8 deficiencies in 3 different areas were cited. And then for this one, on approximately April 8th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee, Shepherd Manor, LLC, for the following deficiencies. The manager failed to ensure one employee working as a caregiver provided documentation of completion of an approved caregiver training program, and the manager failed to ensure one caregiver provided documentation of completion for CPR and first aid training. And that's my conclusion.
All right, so this, let's see here. Was this the same employee that did not have the training or the CPR? This is at the 58th Street.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, actually, during the survey, there is already in the telephone that just need to be prepped. But the surveyor said no. So she didn't accept that, so she tried to she said that that's okay. So not to worry about, as long as you're going to send this to us at 1 o'clock, and we were late like two minutes. And that's why she signed me for that. So.
What was it that you had to send up to them? The training or the CPR?
The training and the CPR.
So you had your employee was trained, you just didn't have the documents available?
Actually, the owner is the one who sent that to her because I wasn't there at that moment. So.
How much time do you spend at that home?
I go about 3 times a week.
For how many hours?
5 hours to 6 hours sometimes.
Each time?
Each time. But just because I went for vacation during that March, and I wasn't there during the survey and the same thing with the other one, so I was out of town.
But can we just clarify the two homes, Shepherd and the other home, 3 times a week, 5 hours, so maybe 2 hours, one house, 2.5 hours, the other house, 3 times a week, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Sometimes I stay, like, as a caregiver over there, if they don't have any caregiver,
so I have to work. Once in a while that they needed a caregiver, but sometimes I'm helping out too, so.
I deliberately put.
So on the Thunderbird property, you know, we talked about the same employee, the fingerprint issues, and the CPR training.
Yes, sir.
Okay, can you pull the microphone a little bit closer to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there you go. All right, and is it the same situation? Is this the same owner of the property?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And you were not in attendance during the time of the survey?
I wasn't there because I was out of town. She just told me that we have the survey when I get back to the station.
All right, and was the owner in attendance at the survey?
Yeah,
they were there.
And so the owner had access to this information but didn't forward it to DHS?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long have you been a manager for these two homes?
Actually, I started last June.
Are you still working at these two locations?
I take off my license already. The reason that I'm here today is just to hold down a meeting.
You don't want to be manager anymore?
I don't want anymore because his sister's fault due to my health. I'm not going to do anymore.
Okay.
So you want to surrender?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. But based on the information contained in your investigative report, there are some issues here with the owner. We've seen that kind of stuff before, but I certainly want a consent agreement for a voluntary surrender. Or is it that?
Yeah, she's understanding that that's a disciplinary act, even though you're giving that up. That's still a discipline that's on your record for any future licensing or professional.
I don't want to do anything anymore because all the schools go retired.
Okay.
You just sort of said it, you know, not accepted, moved to formal hearing, and I can massage the facts.
All right.
Okay.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, would the court find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint numbers 2022 NCI 10124 and 0192 involving manager Lydia Creel, and the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, and the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: voluntary surrender certificate.
Second.
So Ken and Wally. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate your time. All right, we need to take a 5-minute break. Recess. All right, back in session. As Vic Gutierrez. Okay, we'll come back. Jared Ayers. Lana. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
For the record, do you get to introduce yourself, please?
Jared Ayers.
All right, get up behind the case.
Do you want to do it or you want me to do it?
I'm not
there. I have it pulled up. You want me to do it?
Please.
Okay. All right, this is case 2022-131. The manager is Jared Ayers. On February 2nd, 2022, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Cottonwood Village, located in Cottonwood, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Some of the deficiencies included, but are not limited to, the governing authority failed to ensure that 1 of 3 personnel records included documentation of the employee's fingerprint clearance card. The manager failed to ensure 1 of 3 records, failed to ensure for 1 of 3 records that before providing personal care services or directed care services to a resident, a manager or caregiver provided documentation of CPR training. The manager failed to ensure that a disaster drill for employees was conducted on each shift at least once every 3 months and documented. And that was a repeat deficiency. And on April 14th, 2022, Mr. Ayers was noticed of the complaint and he did send a written response to the board. On March 11th, 2022, DHS imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 on the facility licensee, CSL Cottonwood LLC, for the following violations. 1 employee's fingerprint clearance card was not verified. 1 employee's CPR training was expired. Employee disaster drills were not conducted on each shift at least once every 3 months. That's my conclusion.
All right, so it's showing here he did not respond. Did you respond to this board?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so that's kind of old information. All right, how long have you been a manager there?
Just shy of 2 years.
Okay. Is yours the multi-story facility?
3 floors.
Yeah, okay.
160 apartments, 93 licensed directed care.
Okay. So who does your hiring? Do you have a separate department for that?
We have a business director that actually started about the same time as the employee with the fingerprint clearance card. She was unaware she'd have to document that she confirmed the validity of the fingerprint clearance card.
So the employee didn't have a valid card, which is verified?
Yes.
Okay. And the person that was responsible to do that was also?
Well, I mean, the business director, but I am responsible for that as the license manager.
So what have you done since then to close that gap?
Well, we have scheduled audits. We have to schedule them because, obviously, I don't wear my pajamas everywhere. I'm actually working as a caregiver, a housekeeper, because of the staffing shortage, which is magnified quite a bit being a small town, Cottonwood. So we have monthly sample audits of employee files, which we do now that there's a ton of employee files. So.
Mr. President?
Yes.
It says here that during the surveyor's visit, it was found that your fingerprint clearance card had expired. Is that correct?
No. My fingerprint clearance card is fine. What she had was the application. I have a little bit of my background. I was actually a crime scene specialist for the city of Scottsdale. So fingerprints are kind of one of my things. Unfortunately, I have very poor fingerprint quality myself. So she had the application that had not been completed yet, that was done in time.
Okay, so when was your fingerprint clearance card renewed then? Because we have different information on her sheet, so I just wanted to go on record saying fingerprint.
It's actually still being reviewed. I submitted 3 different sets of fingerprints.
Oh, I see.
So I did receive an email this last week that they're processing it again.
Is that for just the state of Arizona, or is that the whole NCIC FBI?
I don't know the details on that.
So they're coming back on servable, or?
and being told the quality is not acceptable to issue a card, which I've had a card issued in the past. So I've tried digital, I've tried, you know, paper. The last ones looked pretty good to me, so they should be taken, hopefully.
Thank you.
All right, and how about proper personnel training, CPR first aid? How do you monitor that now to ensure that everybody's got proper training?
Well, when they come up about 3 months out, we start working with the commander of the CPR trainer to get those scheduled in the Cottonwood. It takes somewhere between 6 to 12 weeks. This particular individual that didn't have their CPR and first aid, it was actually the CPR portion. She had attended, prior to the survey, the first aid and CPR training. They did the first aid portion of the training. They went on a break for lunch, and during that break, this individual was contacted by the police department that their daughter was the victim of a sexual assault the night before. She asked permission to make up her CPR portion later on, which we had her schedule. Unfortunately, it was outside, or it was after the survey. We explained this to the surveyor, and it wasn't deemed acceptable. That particular caregiver has been a caregiver for 18 years, so I assure you that she knows CPR and first aid. Also, I'd like to note that we were not allowing them to do online CPR first aid training. It was hands-on, and in the Verde Valley, unfortunately, there's only one person that does that training. And that's why it takes 6 to 12 weeks to schedule them.
How long has she been a caregiver at that facility?
Being a small town, she's been off and on with the company. My understanding is several years. She's been with us on her most recent hire about a year.
And I'm also going to talk just about your emergency preparedness disaster.
There was one missing. We do anywhere from 3 to 5 disaster drills, including a fire drill, a little bit, and whatever the disaster flavor of the month is. I don't think we did it on the third shift that particular month. Honestly, that was my mistake. We had pushed it back due to essentially staffing needs, and we didn't complete it until the following month on that shift. So I do have them scheduled out for this year. Actually, it's part of the plan of correction is the schedule. I did not give the actual completion dates now. There's been quite a few added since then, and we've moved a couple of them around, but they do meet the requirements.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be the dead horse. I just want to clarify the issue of the clearance card because it's fundamental to the action we're being asked to take today. So your card is not expired, but you're in the middle of the renewal process? Is that what you're saying? Because the sheet says it's expired.
Okay. The plan of correction, the statement of deficiencies, didn't mention my fingerprint clearance card at all. And I didn't come prepared to discuss that today. It was simply a DPS fingerprint card for an employee that was hired around the same time that the business director that didn't have, it wasn't noted that it was confirmed at the time. My personal fingerprint clearance card, I started the renewal for that initially in November. It was rejected. I had another application. So I had the sheet that showed that it was applied for in my file. So I hadn't had the corrected one. I'd have to go back and look and see the expiration date on it.
I have that.
There's not a ton that I can do about it until my fingerprints are accepted. So I would hope that there would be some understanding on that part. It's not It's not as if I've just let it expire.
No, you should have gotten a letter. It's just in your administrative status right now as they get the clearance for it. So this has been a, this is nothing new.
Okay.
And I showed the service plan and the dogs with the license and stuff. You currently actually have pretty simple correct right away.
Yeah, actually, the service plan we use, Yardi, it shows who creates the service plan. The nurse had created it, but she was sick the day we did the service plan meeting, so the resident care coordinator that files everything after it's, after we've had the meeting, didn't leave it on the nurse's desk for her to review and sign. So. You'll get to talk about the oxygen tank. I was really looking forward to that.
I think you probably got an oxygen holder.
Yeah.
Well, she had an oxygen holder. This is actually one of my favorite survey stories. The resident had a small mini tank. She kept forgetting to call to refill it. So she picked it up, was walking over to her phone when our dining staff knocked on her door to deliver it in. So her door was open when I walked by with the surveyor. She was doing her physical tour, and she decided to stop in and saw the tank sitting on the counter, asked the resident why the tank is sitting there, and the resident said, well, I went to go renew it, and my dinner came, so I set it down so I could have my dinner while it's hot, and that resulted in a citation. Small town.
Mr. President, at this stage of the game, really my only outstanding issue is resolving the fingerprint clearance card. So I don't know if you can ask Mr. Ayres to send the paperwork you have in your renewal.
We have it.
No, we don't have it at this time.
Online though, it shows that
this is not the complaint was on. It was another person.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, for the record, it says, conclusion, based on the during the investigation, it was found that Mr. Ayres, who was licensed by this board, had an expired fingerprint clearance card. So I do think that's relevant for this board. And I felt the board is building consensus around the fact that they're comfortable that Mr. Ayres has handled the other issues. And that might change the nature of the consent agreement. So I just want to make sure that we're getting the appropriate documentation. Mr. Ayres attempts to renew his fingerprint clearance card before we walk away from this particular complaint.
The staff can't, so generally, we have a fingerprint clearance card that the manager used for his last renewal. It really shows that it expired in January. I don't have anything else that I've seen in his licensing record or this particular complaint file that gives us, as far as a document that sheds any light on status of application. To board member Brimhall's point, somebody files an application with the state agency, no matter whether it's a fingerprint clearance card or a manager, there are certain administrative statuses that need to, that application can be in until the deficiency is remedied. I just don't have any further information that I've seen in writing to shed light right now.
Right.
So I don't think staff can answer that question.
Okay, so Mr. President, back to my original point, that my only remaining concern is the expired fingerprint clearance card, and that our records don't show that there's a valid card.
And if there's a problem, I understand, but I think we have to look at the 10. It could happen to any of us that are in the business. Many people have issues with not the fingerprints not being able to be picked up on printing. They would have to then go to the digital. So I think we have to think that there's some sort of nefarious intent that he intentionally did not apply in time. But what we see is that we can check on the website, there is an application. It's going to give us minimal information. It shows there's an application. He's done his good faith and effort to try to get fingerprints. He can't prove it. He's telling us that he's been promised in the past. At this point, I have no reason to doubt him to come before this board and say he has a problem. It seems to me that he applied in some instances, fingerprint, those can take a long time, especially with bad cars. I have an employer right now, their card's expired, they've been added three times. So the application's a process, and we're trying to do the best that we can. So is that, does that help?
Yeah, I agree, Mr. President. What I'm asking is there any verification, because all I heard the director say was all we can see is that he has an expired card. Can we see that the renewal process is in process? He's actually applied for
renewal. If we have an application number, yes, you can see that we can go in the DBS, put the application number in, so it'll show the statuses.
So I just want us to confirm that there is a renewal in process so that this doesn't turn out to be one of those things where there isn't a renewal in process. He gets dropped and he doesn't have a fingerprint clearance card. I just want some documentation.
Okay, I have an application number here.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, what are we going to do with it once you give it to us? What do you want us to do?
I have the DPS website up right now. If you read it to me, I can type it in.
Let me zoom it in. I left my glasses on.
The bigger question is whether or not you can be working as a manager without an active fingerprint clearance card, regardless of the application and status. That's the bigger question. And I'm not sure staff is prepared to answer that today.
With the executive council,
I would definitely talk with Seamus on it, but
we don't have any proof that he's been denied.
No, we don't.
No,
this is the most recent. If he hasn't been denied, then his application is pending.
He's pending.
And he wouldn't.
I have no issue with it.
Thank you.
I have no issue with it.
Yeah, the DPS website says that his application is in process.
There you go.
Okay.
If we can know that's the record, Mr. President, that's all I
Thank you. Okay, I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of violation. Dismiss complaint number 2022 NCI 0129 against manager.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Mr. Harris, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, move on to Erlinda Hanoi.
My apologies. My name was before this gentleman was here.
He's Vic. He was outside.
Vic Gutierrez.
He was outside.
We didn't announce.
You were outside when they called.
Oh, Vic Gutierrez?
Yeah, my apologies.
Okay, let's go with you, and then we'll come back to you.
No, wait.
We're going to take him first.
Sorry
about that. Okay, welcome. For the record, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Vic Gutierrez.
Okay, very well. Okay, the case pulled up. When you guys are ready, let's outline the case for us.
This is complaint 2022-129. The manager is Vic Gutierrez. On February 2nd, 2022, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation at St. Walter Group Home. The inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Mr. Gutierrez was notified of the complaint, and he did file a written response with the board. On March 8th, 2022, DHS imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 on the facility licensee, St. Walter Group Home LLC, for the following violations. The manager failed to ensure a written service plan was completed no later than 14 calendar days after the resident's date of acceptance for 1 of 2 residents sampled, and the manager failed to ensure a medical record was maintained for each resident. That's my conclusion.
All right, let's hear the reason he's here today is because he's over capacity. Nope, is there always license for 10 or 9 residents. All right, so the issue. Service plan.
All right, Ms. Gutierrez, how long have you been manager at this home?
Almost a year.
All right, tell us about the service plan for one of the two residents. So there's no service plan in place, is that correct? Or is it not available, what happened?
Most likely it is available, it's stated before. But problem is if files are not always there, they're being taken from the home constantly. Well, by the manager. So, not by the manager, but the owner, I mean. So my job is to obviously revise documents to ensure things in order. We're just not working together. My belief that a manager and an owner can work together is not made completely. In fact, I'm not going to have my manager license anymore out there with strangers. I want to judge all owners, but the majority that I have encountered, they're not working with me at all. So as of next month, that license will not be there.
All right, so I'm not clear. I didn't quite hear all of what you said. The record was there, but you couldn't get to it?
Correct. In fact, I'm still waiting for my TB test from the owner. We just now have a new communication. I also need to be more proactive, to be honest. I need to be more there in the home. I go at different times of the day or different days, but we just not. We're not working as a team. They don't work.
So the owner controlling documentation and not giving you access to it, or were you not present during the time of the survey?
I was not present. Not at that time. I was not present. I did get a phone call from the owner. Called me that the surveyor was at the home. I was in Tucson. I take care of my parents. I do visit them twice a week. So I was on my way to Tucson. I even spoke with the surveyor, at least I tried, since I was not there. I spoke with the surveyor, Lisa. And I explained I was on the road. I was heading with my wife down to Tucson. And what I understand is that some files were missing. I am going to be honest, and I should have talked to Lisa. The owner called me first that day, and whispered in the phone, saying, "The surveyor's here. Please tell her that you took the files." And then I say, "Excuse me, what? Yes, please tell her that you took the files. This one files."
So that was back in February.
No, that was second. Inspection, which her.
So it's a follow-up inspection.
Yes, yes, exactly. The reason I'm explaining this is to give you an idea of what's happening in the home. And again, of course, I'm not saying the owner should be taking care of everything. It's my job, my responsibility as a manager to be revising documents as much as possible.
How much time are you spending in this home per week? How many hours?
I visit three times a week, three or four. And I spent about 3 hours a week. But that was before. That was normally how we agree on it. I've been spending more time in the other home, which is nearby. She has an associate. It's another home that I actually just removed my license recently. So I was more focused on the other property. They were just opening the other property. I go with positive procedures. Now that owner, we worked together very well. We got the license. It was a brand new home. Was being converted to an assisted home, and of course, we need a license, so I have my duplicate in that home. So I was focusing more on that property, that home, with positive procedures, getting everything ready for the inspection. So I shifted my attention, and the other property, it was my mistake. I was going less hours because, as the owner will say, yeah, don't worry about anything. We got to cover. Focus on that property. So, yeah, it was my mistake to just leave that and just shift my attention completely to the other property. So, for the last month, I have been on that property, I would say, two times a week, two to three hours every time I visit.
Is it the same owner at both properties?
They're associates.
They're associates.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What
associated?
If that's another thing. That's my understanding is they work together, and let me see if I remember correctly. I did look on tax records, and there is a similar, but the other person who the home is being open, it's another league, so they work together. That's the reason I do think it's another property, because they know each other.
Is the other person being more cooperative with?
Oh, absolutely. The other home, we got the policy procedures accepted. That's the reason they got the license. We have everything more organized, and we feel very well. We're really going to do something. But the other one is not. It's not offered with me.
So are you planning to keep your certificate at that new house and pull it off the other house?
No, what I did is remove, they sold a home. See, so these people do a lot of things that I don't get those. So they sold that property as soon as they got it approved. They sold it. I guess that's your own business, that's okay. They sold it, and well, there's only to have my certificate there. With this one, I'm going to remove my license by the beginning of next month. I was going to remove it, but she asked me to please not take it away because they don't have a manager at the moment, so I felt really bad. What I'm going to do, my plan is to stop doing this. Not being in compliance is going to follow the advice of my mother and my wife, which is, they told me many times, why don't you just open your own home? You have the manager license. You have the knowledge. I've been a manager since 2008. My parents and I operated an assisted living in Scottsdale for 10 years. And you can monitor your manager license 24/7 hours every week, and you have peace of mind. Instead of wondering what's going to happen, are you going to go back to war? And so they've been telling me for many months, and now I'm going to take it seriously. The advice from my mother and my wife.
All right, what's the board's pleasure on this?
Mr. President, Mr. Gutierrez. So it looks like what we're recommending is that you just do some additional professional development around record keeping and the like. Are you comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. Mr. President. All right. I'll do a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move this board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-10, R4, 33407, AMB1 for professional conduct and complaint number 2022, NCI 0129, involving manager Vic Gutierrez, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days. The matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, let's see, the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation for 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $146. 3 hours of continuing education in each of the following areas. Personnel requirements, medication management, service plans. Any costs of probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Ken and Walling. Discussion. Hearing none, take the roll call vote.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. So what the board's decide is to offer you a disciplinary consent agreement, a disciplinary action, probation for 3 months. Within that 3 month period of time, you have to pay a reimbursed investigative cost, mm-hmm. and take some continuing education classes. They're going to offer you that as a consent agreement to resolve the matter. So we'll be sending you some paperwork with you next week to 10 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and if you have questions, you can contact me.
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for being here. All right, Linda Canoy. All right, welcome. For the record, can you introduce yourself, please? Can you pull the microphone a little bit closer to you?
Good morning, sir.
And your name, for the record?
Irving Nathanoni.
Okay, and who's with you today?
Ted Beko.
My name's Ted Beko. I'm the caregiver at the time when this paper came in.
Okay.
So that's why I came in.
Okay. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, we have had the case. Wait on this one. On November 18, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living compliance inspection at Crystal Home Care 2, located in Gilbert, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Those deficiencies included lack of fingerprinting requirements, the lack of 2 residents to ambulate within the facility. The manager failed to ensure evacuation drills were conducted at least every 6 months. And the manager failed to ensure the premises and equipment used in the assisted living facility were cleaned and disinfected properly. Eventually, DHS took an enforcement action in the form of a $1,000 civil penalty against the facility licensee, Crystal Cove, and that enforcement action was because the manager failed to ensure 2 residents in the assisted living home had valid insurance fingerprint clearance cards. I don't have anything further unless there's questions. Okay, so you have 2 people living in the home that were not caregivers, not residents?
That's my kids living home. Because since they I'm having
started, trouble hearing.
Can you talk into the microphone, please?
Those are the kids that we have. One of them is a nurse living home, and my son living home. They start living in a home since they were young, and they were in kindergarten. And I think this is the first time we had those kind of asking for the fingerprint. We have the finger test every time, and this surveyor is asking for the fingerprint for the first time. I don't know. I told them that this is kind of new to us. If the nurse is living in the facility and it's a registered nurse. So you got the facility to help what's going on in the facility. So, and they said we get fined because there's no fingerprint.
So the individual is volunteering and helping out because they're a nurse?
Yeah, no, he's helping volunteering to help the facility, but the problem there is the surveyor saying, because this is us, you don't see the fingerprint, because I think it's in the board of you guys, though, with you guys. So I don't know where is that. And my daughter said, well, I submitted to the board, so why are you going to get it? And she said, I wrote it down, every information that he got, and still we fined for $500. So
do both these individuals volunteer in the home?
Yes.
Okay, that's the issue.
Yeah.
So okay. They're volunteering to assist your residents that are in the home. Mm-hmm. So whether they're paid or not, it makes them a de facto employee, so then they have to be fingerprinted. Are they providing hands-on cares?
Well, yeah, the one is the nurse. So the problem there is, I know the other one is okay. Are we going to find for 500? Because we got now the fingerprint. We have it already, because that's the requirement, that's a correction. But the nurse, supposed to be here to find 500? Because he's a nurse. I don't know if it's right or...
Well, the nurses get fingerprinted through the nursing board, which is not this board.
She submitted to you guys, though, the board. She's a nurse, a registered nurse. She's working in a Bonner Bay.
It wouldn't be this. That's not
this board.
The issue is, regardless of whether you pay somebody or not, if you have somebody in your home that's providing care to the residents, they need to comply with all of the requirements for personnel.
But the thing is...
There's no more buts to it. They have to have a fingerprint bearer story. Period, end of story. There's no way around it. I understand you have a different opinion of that, but this board is going to enforce laws that DHS has and that we have. So right now, there's no workaround for it. Okay? Thank you.
But did you say that you already corrected it, both of those
people? Yes, we did already.
Have a level one fingerprint clearance card, and do you have a file on them?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have
ma'am.
A file
yes, ma'am.
That says their name,
mm-hmm.
that they're volunteers?
Yes.
And they have, what other things do you have in their folder? You have a fingerprint card and a verification.
And the DB test. That's the only required when you are, because he's a nurse already, so you have those.
She is, what about him? What else? Does he have anything else in his file?
No, because he's my son.
Uh-huh.
He just needs the fingerprint and the TB test to live in the house.
To live in the house.
He's not a volunteer. He just lives in the house.
So he doesn't have any direct care with the residents?
No.
He doesn't do anything?
Only my daughter.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Any more questions?
The question, I thought that's the problem there is because of the smell that when the surveyor came in. Because the guy, the resident, is working in the morning for 4 hours a day. And he is amputee, complex is amputee, and he's using only his wheelchair, electric wheelchair. But he's working. On that day, we cannot clean the house, the room where he's at. Because he's working, he get out right away, and I can go into the room if he's not there. He's gonna get mad to me, upset to me if I go in and do something that he don't like. He's gonna get mad to me, so we don't want to talk. So that's the main thing. That's why we are here. And I know the surveyor saying, "Okay, please, man, whatever I can do, he's coming back around 2 o'clock in the afternoon." That's the time we're gonna clean up. We cannot clean up if the person is not around. Even though I'm cleaning up, I'm mopping and cleaning up the space where the mess is, he's still around there. I sent you around the way, man.
Is that a rule?
I don't know. If that's the rule, I cannot clean up without him over there, so. That's
right.
The main issue. That's why we are here. So we are in there. I'm a caregiver for so long, and this is the first time we have the problem.
Actually, she's here today to talk in front of the board, not necessarily you as the caregiver.
Yeah. I understand the issue between a resident's rights to their privacy of their room, but we also have an obligation to clean.
Right.
That could be explained. So maybe a little education
for her.
Yes,
this man.
Okay.
But we can hear it all from the license holder and all.
Yes.
And that are concerned.
Ms. Kamar, do you have anything to add that he's already stated?
Let's ask you, do you have other caregivers that work for you?
Yeah, my daughter.
No?
No, I do. I go there once a day from 4 o'clock to 5.
And do you have other caregivers that you hire? Who else are caregivers? Him? Just him?
And my daughter.
And your daughter? Okay. And does your daughter stay at the house all the time during the day?
No. She's teaching. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Okay. So it's just you and him and your daughter who do all the caregiving. You don't have any other caregivers that you've hired? Yes or no? Can you pull the microphone
over? Just the three of us.
Just the three, okay. And you have all of your file is complete? What do you have in your file? Nope, not asking you. What do you have in your file? You're the manager.
Everything.
Well, what is everything?
We have the file for the residents, and I have my certificate of completion, my license number, my fingerprints.
Okay. CPR? First aid? All of that's current?
Yes. How long have you been at that home? You. How many years?
Yes.
1997. Were you two married?
No.
But you just worked in the home since 97, and he's the primary caregiver. And you go once a day for 1 hour, 7 days a week?
Well, up to Friday. Sometimes you're out there late morning and out there.
And how many residents do you have in your home?
Two.
All right, I'll make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.10R433407A and B1, from professional conduct and complaint number 2022 NCI 0138 involving manager Linda Canoy. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. Consent agreement should include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate and state of suspension, as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Provision with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $146. 3 hours of continuing education in each of the following areas: personnel requirements, service plans, and emergency and safety standards. Any cost of the probation of those of the certificate holder.
Second.
And motion, Susan, second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, and at this time,
Board of Staff will send some paperwork in the form of consent agreement. So if you have questions when you get that, give me a call. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for being here. Jack, I just remember we were running out of time, but
we had a 12 o'clock that might have been a conflict, so you're aware of that. And I know we have one gentleman that was here for a call of public since the meeting began that we might want to address next. What time is our drop dead date? We have two board members with conflicts, and we need to get out of here as close to 12 as we can.
12:45.
And I don't know.
Well, keep going. Let me know when I run out of time. I'm trying to buy some time to postpone my 12:30.
Why don't we see who's in the audience that's still here on the agenda?
That would be a good question.
Yeah, that's
the
question.
Who's in the audience that's still on the agenda?
We have, all right, don't get Shall I? You hear? Which one is that? No, and then.
That one is postponed as of yesterday.
Okay.
She had turned up and it was pulled from the agenda.
Well, and then number 12 also has attorney was able to be here. I received that.
Right, that was an email that was received last night.
Okay, and then Ma Carmona, the MAR.
How many people are here for CEUs?
Do you
want to
do the call?
Yes.
Do you want to do the call of public real fast? Yeah, this was Herman and Al, still here.
Yeah, that's him.
Can we just have you sit back one more time? We're just going to do a call.
So, I think you said you wanted to talk about something that was dismissed.
Yeah. So, Mr. Goodell is here on the room of C7, when there was 0143 that was dismissed.
C7.
I wouldn't worry about that. You can just give him time to speak.
Sure. All right. Thank you, sir, for being here today.
Yeah. First of all, my name is Herman Nadell, and I want to thank the board for listening to me. I was at Olive Grove Assisted Living for approximately 4 years. In that time, I was resident counsel there, president. I also started their store there. I did a lot of things in the community. I confronted Mrs. Allison. I met her about 2.5 years ago. Mrs. Allison knew I had a settlement on a injury case. My lawyer came in to say to have me sign the papers then. And she asked to speak to the attorney, and this is really out the way out. And she said to the attorney, if Mr. Nivell wishes for me to hold on to his settlement, could he do so? This was Perry Becker. You should know him. He's in the community very well. He said, no, if you do that, you're dealing something against the law. Oh, he said, you're right. On many, many occasions, Mrs. Allison called me at my home after she left her work around 10, 11 o'clock. Amy Shaw listened to her ask me for $6,000, which I said to her, I don't think so. And then she kept on and on. Anyway, long story short, I gave her that money. But she didn't want a check, she wanted cash. I gave her that cash. When she came back from her wherever, I asked her, when do you think I'm going to get that money? That's not the truth. She says to me, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. When that happened, I knew my best recourse was to get out of there. And I did. I changed the system living to another facility immediately, as quick as I could. Amy Shaw's here today. Nikki is here today. Amy Shaw heard her many times yesterday for money, and I gave it to her. Nikki saw her do a lot of things that I can go on and on. It's a crazy story. You know, I'm almost 80 years old, and I have never in my life gone through hell like this. I mean this. This is hell. And if the board lets her walk with this, there's something dramatically wrong. Now, of course, I realize I gave her cash. But there's a valuable cause. This is Shaw, Nikita, other people. There's another person here today. They would testify to the fact that this is Ellison's dealings. I don't think the board had any idea. I found out that prior to this board meeting on the 19th, Stellar sold its Olive Grove Assisted Living. I just want you to know that I called Stellar prior to this ever happening. And Stellar says, well, if this is true, I will make this. I will take care of you. He never did. You know, this is an ongoing situation. I feel just back to the 8 years old, and I'm not probably going to make it to If Mrs. Ellison tried to file the record saying I did something wrong, catch this. Well, they investigated and said you did nothing wrong. In fact, they got a claim against her of all protective services. I don't know that Mrs. Ellison told you or the board what he told the investigator. It doesn't matter to me. I'm telling you, woman is as dirty as worse than the dirt outside. She committed an unparalleled act, taking $6,000 of my money that I would use on my burial money from me. That's not righteous. I'm going to take her still to court, that's for sure. But I talked to the Attorney General about this case. And I gone further than that, you know, with all protective services. Didn't find anything with me that they're ready to file on her. They're going to get her to the police station, and then they'll come in and talk to me, and then they'll go from there. But I don't understand how a person that gets a license. Because I don't know what her need was, that she needed this money. I don't know how. This is sad. This is really sad. This is beyond encroachment, so. And she's running around here with a license. So I felt I owed it to a lot of people to step up and say the truth when I had. And also to try to get our license pulled, which I'm trying. But I'm going to take it further. And I hope the board really investigates Mrs. Janetta Ellison. She's one sad cookie. Really sad. You're looking at an old man here, and I've never been put to a good outfit. This is terrible. I think it was Vermont. It was your $6,000. You could get to that person, let alone $2,000. Yet if it was your father, who was 80 years old, how would you take it? So I just want the board to know that. That's why I asked my few minutes here. I stay until the board would give it to me. Or it's just a sad thing. You don't have to believe me. Talk to many, many people here. I brought three children here today so you can listen. But you don't have to. This is really terrible.
Well, thank you for telling us your story today. We appreciate that very much. Yeah.
Did anybody else sign up? It wouldn't be prudent to re-adjudicate the case and call it public.
I can only tell you from a staff perspective, I think I've talked to you both twice now.
You have to.
And I've given him all the options that I'm aware of. You know, he's already contacted APS. We talked about the civil court and recourse. We talked about the burden of proof, whether or not it was just a verbal or in writing. So I'm not sure what other resources we as a board have to offer.
Yeah, if a person states that they've heard for $6,000, you have a person that states that they saw her take the $6,000, isn't that burden of proof?
But it's not before this particular board. That would be before a civil court, or if you had a criminal agency that wrote up a something for a criminal matter, that's where that would be adjudicated, not here. Yeah, so, but thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being here today, sir. Appreciate it very much. All right, move on to Macamono de Loyola.
Yeah.
And for the record, if you can introduce yourself, please.
I'm Maha Mona Boonier.
All right, thank you for being here. All right, I'll have the case.
Do you want me to do it?
I'm not very
good. All right, I'll do it.
I'm sorry.
No. This is complaint 2022-235. The manager identified as Mark Ramona Villamayor. On October 1st, 2021, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Danielle's Sanctuary Assisted Living Home, located in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in 6 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Some of the deficiencies that were identified were the governing authority failed to ensure a caregiver who was able to understand and communicate in English was present at the assisted living facility. The manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completion of a caregiver training program. The manager failed to ensure a personnel record for each employee or volunteer was maintained for at least 24 months after the last date the individual provided services for the assisted living facility. The manager failed to ensure a resident provided evidence of freedom from TB before or within 7 calendar days after the resident's date of occupancy. And the repeat deficiency is the manager failed to ensure poisonous or toxic materials were stored in a separate locked area that's inaccessible to residents. And it looks like we did receive a written response. Yes, we did receive a written response on June 21st, 2022. And on approximately May 3rd, 2022, DHS took enforcement action in the following issuance of a notice of intent to revoke the healthcare institution's license and a hearing held. The license to operate an assisted living home was revoked effective May 3rd, 2022. That's my conclusion.
All right, so how long have you been manager of this home?
More than 3 years.
3 years. Okay, what happened here? Is the owner the one that's running the day-to-day operation, or are you running it?
She runs the day-to-day operation, but then I was very confident about the employee records because that's what I usually check every time. So one of the caregivers who were there during the inspection happened to work with her for over 8 years, I believe, even in her home Easter class. So she was never in question about her verification or her certificate. So that's why it was like a surprise for me that during the inspection, it was questioned, because it has never been an issue. And then the second caregiver, I have verified her employment in one of the care homes in Phoenix, and she was verified to be working and certified as well. So, I just disagreed with the fact that they said that there were no personal records. There were personal records, but during the time of inspection, the inspector didn't accept that record because she said that those caregivers who were there were unable to speak or understand English, but during the time of inspection, they were scared when you talk about inspectors, so they were not comfortable talking to the inspector, and I was having a conversation with the owner that no matter what, she should have been there because we were expecting an inspection during those months. So from June or 2 months prior to the expiration date, you know, so like I told her that she should be there every single day to ensure that when inspector comes in, she would be there and be ready. So that's what transpired with the personal record and for the TB test. So like the owner was saving money. So she didn't want to do a TB test right away. She would be out of pocket or hire somebody to do the TB test. So she was waiting for a hospice nurse to do this for her so she didn't have to pay. So that's the reason why the TB test wasn't there during the time of inspection. Even though I have been telling her that it should be present, but then again,
for me as a manager, it's not my obligation to provide financial support to the care home if the owner didn't want to spend money for that. And so actually, my last day of service to that home was December 31st, because she was really struggling finding a caregiver that could support to the planning commission, saying that there should be a competent or a certified caregiver that the license is up to date for 2013 offer. So being with that fact, so I terminated my management tour effective December 31st of 2021.
So you're saying the surveyor didn't even want to look at the files of the people that they deemed couldn't speak or understand English?
I was there during the inspection, but then I'm pretty sure that the records were there and completed. It's just that I guess she didn't find it verified, because during the inspection, the caregivers didn't talk to her that well. So they were just hiding and then just talking by the other caregiver as well. That's what I heard on the side of the owner. So that's why it was in question. So if the inspector would ask something, they would talk in a small volume and before they could speak it out. So that's why it was like that.
How many hours a week did you work there?
I work about 8 to 10 hours a week in that home, with one or two visits depending on the need.
Are you managing another home?
Right now I'm not managing any homes, and I would actually want my license to be inactive, because I don't intend to manage for the next 2 years, because I have some personal concerns that I want to attend to.
So, obviously there's a lot going on here. It was 8 to 10 hours a week. Do you think that was sufficient? Or was there arguments or with the owner? What?
So the owner is responsible with the medication and the ADL, dealing with the families, things like that. And my major role is to make sure that everything that she did is with communication with me. That way I would know what's going on in the home. So then I would visit the home, but then we have virtual supervision as well. So if there is an issue, if there would be some complaint in the family, or if she has some concerns about the paperwork needed to be addressed to the family, then she would discuss it with me, and I would give her the necessary support that she needed.
So, was that a successful strategy after seeing the inspection?
For me, for the past years, yes, not until this one, because also during the time inspection, the owner was not there until after the 2-3 hours, so I didn't know what happened during those precious hours. So it's just that for her not being there, and for her not being able to make the promise with me that she has to make sure that she would be there during those times, especially during the day, to ensure that there would be communication, such as reminders to those caregivers, which didn't happen. So it was not a full success because of that.
So is that why you pulled your certificate out of there?
It's not that. I pulled out my certificate because I didn't know that there was a problem. So October 2021, she actually sent me an SOE statement from the Department of Health. It was dated October 2021, and then it said there that there was no deficiencies. So being said that, I tried opening a care home just to set it up, and then my application was held. So I wondered why, and it was not until November 18 that they said I am on enforcement. So I didn't know that. So then I made a settlement with the Department of Health. I told them that it would take some time to resolve the issue, I'd just rather withdraw my application for that other home. And part of the settlement states that I should not be involved with Daniel Sanctuary. I should never communicate with the owner. That's why it's also one of the reasons why I terminated my facility management with that home right away.
Mr. President, Ms. Villamayor, thank you for being here. So, I'm sorry, my mic isn't working. Let me know if you can't hear me. One of the issues and the deficiencies, I think you touched on a caregiver who had worked at the facility for 8 years, and so you assumed that she was appropriately trained?
It's not only an assumption, I pretty much believe, because in the other city, she was, I'm not sure, this one is it was, because I'm not sure if she's still working there, but she has been a caregiver there over the years, and none of the year that it was cited that her caregiver certificate is invalid or in question. That's why I'm saying that it's, I was sure that it was legit or valid.
So you, as the person responsible for making sure the employees have the appropriate paperwork, you never independently checked that, is that correct?
I did independently check that, because I checked at home, I verified with the employer about their skills, about their orientation, and she was never questioned. She was also working with one of the homes part-time here and there, and there was never a problem with those homes.
So you asked the owner about the paperwork, and the owner said the paperwork was in order, and so you took the owner's word for it. Is that what you're saying?
I checked it myself with regard to the Daniel Sanctuary, but I also verified from different employers to see if the caregiver possessed caregiver skills or to see if their caregiver certificate is also valid, since that certificate could never be found on the website because it was dated before 2013.
Well, I think you put a lot of trust in somebody that's not a certified manager, and as a certified manager, you are responsible.
Yes, that's why I'm verifying the details to previous employers. I checked it myself. So for the past 8 years with a previous home of the same owner, it was never in question. So I stood firm that her license is really valid. So I myself witnessed that if she has been working with the other home, and she's also working with Daniel Sanctuary for the past years, never been questioned until last year. Because her file has been there since 2019. Never been questioned.
Mr. President, members of the board, just for a little clarification, not directly to the responses here in this. Caregiver certification is a slippery slope when it goes back before 2013, because we, the board, don't even verify that the certificate that the person holds in their hand is true and accurate. The only thing that we can do is verify that the training program was up and running at the time of the date that's on that caregiver certificate. We as a board cannot match a name to somebody that was trained. So part of what we suggest to people is that they do other employment verifications, background, to ensure that the employment matches up with what they have on their resume and the employment application, which I think
your microphone is not working properly.
I didn't have a turn on, I apologize. So part of that is it's very hard for us to even verify that the person that has it in 2013 is the same person. So I just wanted to clarify that. I think we're talking around it now. Thank you.
And I think the other point that Ms. Villamayor was making is that file had been looked at numerous times by surveyors. And that flag is a potentially fraudulent caregiver certificate. So I'm not sure what flagged it this time.
Exactly.
That they're saying that it wasn't, it was not.
Yeah, but the surveyors that checked those is not the same surveyor the last time.
Thank you, Ms.
That issue would not be my area, that's for sure. I think this is another case of people who are intending to do something well and try to do it right, and the owners get in the way. And people haven't realized that we have the authority to be in a building before the manager. Mm-hmm. Or you pull your license down with the fuckers to it, which you did. What other questions do we have?
And what would the concern be?
The house was closed.
Yeah, the house is. They decided to close. Actually, the owner is the daughter of the ones operating it, and then before I left there, she said that she doesn't want to continue running the business. So I didn't know what transpired during the hearing that they had with the Department of Health, because I am not allowed to communicate with them. But then it was like their decision not to.
The institute would have revoked on the 3rd of May.
Right, sorry. Maybe just the proper personnel files, or personnel and resumes, or both. There were some records.
Personal requirements.
Personal
requirements. Yeah, personal requirements.
Sorry, Mr. President, I also would like to know, I believe it's probably under safety. I'm not sure because I don't know the course as well as I should. But I'm always concerned when the hot water temperatures aren't maintained at a safe level. Having a family member experience trying to get this fixed many times for my mom. And so, you know, it's that hot water could be quite dangerous if folks aren't keeping track of how hot it gets. And as residents are transitioning, sometimes they don't understand the difference between hot and cold water. And so, we see this a lot. I don't think something we pay a lot of attention to, but I do think it's something that residents struggle with. And hearing the very few hours a week that you're actually at the facility, you know, we see this a lot. The manager-owner relationship is tough, but you still have an obligation with your license to try. And so I would be comfortable with a letter of concern.
Well, that quality management, like you're involved in the hot water, that's covered.
Environmental safety.
Quality assurance, about safety, for safety.
Environmental safety.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, the AG's office has an information about where that requirement sits, but thank you. Or we can, go with the consent agreement as it is, because it already includes professional development.
All right. Let's try this motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and complaint number 0265 NCI 0235 against manager not Carmona Villamayor, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain compliance with environmental safety. Okay, so Ken and Wally second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President, I'm sorry, Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. The board will be in contact with you. Appreciate your attendance and being here today. Okay, we're going to need to wrap this up. We have shown we've got 1, 2, 3 cases that. Four cases that have been pulled off of the dismiss list if the board has questions on that. And those are going to have to be deferred. We can do reports.
Is
Is anybody here for those cases?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, two of them.
Right, our problem is that we have members that have leaves, so we're going to end up losing four for a day. What we will do is for the next meeting is put any remainders out that you get to come up first.
Board President, would you like to make a motion just to move those four to the next meeting?
Yes.
Well, I guess I would like to make a
motion. With apologies.
All right, so section C, 2, 8, 11, 12, 14, 15, 27. Make a motion to move those to the next meeting.
Second.
What was the last one you mentioned?
Yeah. 27.
No, yeah, 27.
27, thank you.
All right, and let's take the vote. I've got one more question for those in the audience. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
I didn't hear who seconded.
I did.
Susan. Yeah. Kelly Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
All right, so what is your name?
I'm Melinda.
Melinda.
Oh, okay.
Melinda.
Is it agreed? Okay. All right, who else was here that's going to be deferred?
I'm here for Park Senior Villas. It didn't list a manager, so I came just to represent the regional. I don't have my ALN hanging anywhere, but I'm here to answer questions. Is there a way you can tell me?
Number 8.
Not at this time.
Yeah, number 8 and number 17.
Not at this time. They've been already moved forward, so you can't.
We can definitely tell her the date, October 24th, for the next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's well, notice letters will be out again, but it's tentatively scheduled for October 24th.
All right. Anybody else here? Okay.
Was Mr. Adams here?
Who?
Joseph Adams, the second one. Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on. Jack.
Yes, sir.
You're up.
We need to discuss and or make a motion on item number 9, which is the delegate for this board at NAB, which is November 2nd, November 4th.
Can they be released?
Yeah, you have to prefer you can go.
You want to go?
Yeah, I'd like to go to the November meeting.
Okay. Where is this one this year?
It's in Palm Springs.
Palm Springs.
That's the closest that I've ever had one.
That makes sense.
The board doesn't have the budget. Send more than one, so NAB picks up one attendee, which is delegate. I apologize.
Oh, that's fun.
I would love to have a travel staff and a training budget and all that. You don't have it.
Yeah. All right, so you need a motion to approve one person to attend the NAB conference.
Second.
All right. Discussion, and you'll take it to a vote. Yeah, Wally and Becky.
And Becky.
To approve one representative. All right, speak to a roll call vote.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Vice President Archer, sorry.
You've been demoted.
I know. Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member, I already did that.
That's it.
Sorry, I'm losing my mind. I didn't know what
time. Hey, Jack, budget update?
Watch 1 second. Member Hill.
Just a quick budget update. I didn't ask for any more money. Our budget was submitted in September. We'll find out next legislative session if we get the same amount of appropriation. Cash reserves are okay. I don't know if you want any specifics. The report I did add in this month, it's on page 3124. It shows our appropriation will extend so far this year. What's the next item on there?
Licensing investigation status.
Again, the reports are in report materials. If you want the numbers, I'm happy to spit those out as far as number of licensees, managers, administrators, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Staff update.
I wanted to introduce, we've had some changes in staff.
Should I go get them?
Yes, please. We've had some changes in staff. As you know, our investigator left with another agency. We are filling in with a contract investigator, which used to do investigations here. His name is Phil Smith.
Who?
Phil Smith.
And then
Al is 100% doing investigations right now. Between those two, they're focused on investigations. I hope we get it caught up.
Jack will send you an email.
Hi. So everybody, this is Jayden Sanchez.
Hi,
she is the new member of the NCIA board. We're welcome to have her here. She started, how long did she start?
I think last month.
Been here about a month. She's taking over front office duties and replacing Carrie's position. So we're
J-A-N-E.
It's
J-A-E-D-Y-N.
Right. I knew it was unusual, but I
don't
know. Okay.
So basically in the office, Donita goes by D, so I call her D. Call Jayden J.
J.
So that's what we've been doing in the office, just to keep things, so I can keep things.
So you
things
have J's on staff?
I was just going to say that.
Well,
should we let everybody know that it's October 24th, not the 10th, that's in the notes?
October, yes.
Sure.
October 24th.
So, yeah, board meetings have not been traditionally scheduled on the second Monday.
And it's a holiday.
It is for last year. And it's everything from people that have been scheduling conflicts and so forth. So the reason it's the 24th is about 30 to 40. Thank you, Jay. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you want to say?
Before? It's nice to meet you guys.
There
nice
you go.
Thank you. Bye.
We need about 30 to 40 days to get things scheduled in those four meetings. So that's why we're out on October 24th. We'll see if we end up having a December meeting or not. Hopefully by next year we'll get on to the schedule the second Monday. I had a very good suggestion from Board Member Hill. We're going to start sending out calendar invites for the meetings. Just so we send you an email and show up on your calendar of when the meeting's scheduled for. It's an easy thing to do.
Just send me the normal. I don't use calendar invites.
So and so we'll get it covered, but it was a good suggestion. And we want I'll try to exclude you.
Okay.
I'll do my best. Where was I with staffing? So staffing update. That's about all I have. So we've had some turnover. We've had two positions that have left. But I think we've got a staff here that's going to stick around for a while. And I think you'll see that results for the board meetings. We don't need to do substantive policy statement on nurses today. Quick update on our general 30-month follow-up. The auditors are doing a 30-month follow-up. They started late August. They've been collecting information on licensing timeframes, investigations. I told them, just like I did last time, I told them what I thought our opportunities are. I fell on the sword. I told them they could open any, desk drawer they wanted to and talk to anybody they wanted to. So they've had full access. They're starting to go through their preliminaries from our last review. They had some pretty good questions. I'm comfortable with licensing from my perspective. I think we've made a huge stride over the last year. I am not comfortable with timeframes for investigations yet. I think that's going to be a fight.
It will be.
And twofold. We started opening every single case at its front door from DHS, no matter what. No matter if it's a $250 civil penalty or, you know, it's an unlicensed activity. Everything is getting assigned a case number and being investigated. That has increased the number of cases that we've had exponentially. I think that'll be a finding. I don't think we'll have any major findings, if any, on licensing. That's going to roll into the legislative session. As you know, we've got a two-year renewal for the agency. The legislature has to decide how much more of a renewal, if any, they give us next year. So we will have hearings, and it's going to be based upon this audit, what we end up getting. So just a heads up on that. Does anybody have questions on the article follow-up?
I think just, I don't know if this is going to fall into, which it should still be falling into it, is the board member appointments. Because I know that, you know, some people have rolled off, but that is part of that 30-month window. And that's part of the situation that the NICA is in.
I voiced that to some extent. There's only so much in any executive director.
Well, I know. I just want to go on record to say, you know, we're fully aware of that's one, that's a major area of concern.
I hope we get a full board. It would make having meetings and people's schedules a lot easier because we'll see if we get there. But I know they have applications. When I've gone out and talked to people, I've promoted, you know, board applications and applied to be a board member and so forth. So I know they have apps.
I stood on the corner with a sign.
All right, moving on.
No.
I do dance training
for them. You know, I don't really.
We don't have any time for that.
I don't.
We already discussed and tried to promote it going forward.
I had put this on the agenda. I had wanted Headmasters, CNS to come give us a presentation on them doing it online. I never got it. I never got it wrapped up. So that's why I had put it on the agenda. Maybe in October if we have time. If we could get a vote, so any board materials in subsection G, there's been a lot of discussion over last year on what somebody has to do to come to this meeting to get free continuing education. Mm-hmm. The policy was last looked at, what was it? Was it 10 years ago?
Yeah, 2010.
And there was a lot of questions about whether they had to stay for the whole meeting to get 4 hours or 3 hours, or they had to stay for just 3 or 4 hours for contact hours. So Elizabeth redrafted a new policy that we can put in place for people to publish and people can put in place for board meetings. It starts on page 3158 of the materials.
Can we vote on it or can we talk about it next meeting?
Sure. We don't have to do it today.
Need to digest it.
I like 3 hours for 3 hours.
I do too. What the board voted on before in 2010 was 3 hours for the duration of the board meeting.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's kind of absurd. When somebody stayed for 3 hours with a certificate of continuing ed, there's 5 hours.
So it varies between
that's
boards.
Very,
oh. It varies between boards. Okay. So we can have a discussion today, or we can move to next.
So we can.
Mr. President, yep, all right. Fingerprint update. I wanted to give the board an update on this. Part of our mandate legislatively was to have national background fingerprinting in place by January of 23. I'm getting pushback from EPS.
That's right.
They don't want to do it. And they said that the FBI does not want to do it. So, I've documented the requests. We already have the rules written for being able to do it, but I'm not going to promulgate the rules until I know that we can have the fingerprinting in place. So we're working on it, but that was one of the mandates in statute and one of the things we'll probably be followed up with the legislature next year and whether or not we've done that. If we haven't done it, the reasons why we haven't done it. So
there's a new House bill also that clarifying some fingerprinting stuff. I think it's 2048, which gives some better definitions about volunteers and including about direct services versus non-direct service providers, and that's where a lot of this stuff is coming from.
We're having a lot of trouble getting fingerprint cards for employees through the system with DPS, and we're having trouble getting them for volunteers for the Super Bowl. And
well,
there's a lot of problems right now with
getting fingerprints. One of the issues I think that's going to happen with licensing is that if we do the fingerprint cards, is there's a possibility of being charged $45 to $75. Who's that?
Yeah, who's going to pay it?
In addition to what we do now?
Yeah.
It'll be a pass law. The applicant will end up paying for it.
Yeah, the
applicant has to pay. That's all I have, this problem. All right, is there anything else? Okay, we will adjourn here at 12:46. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.